You are listening to the weekly sermon from the Canton United Methodist Church in Canton, South Dakota. We're a church that strives to make disciples of Jesus Christ who make a difference. To learn more, visit us at cantonsdumc.org. And now, here's Pastor Clay.
Our scripture this morning comes to us from Psalm 130. I'll be reading all of the verses 1 through 8 of the psalm. It's on page 684 of your pew Bibles if you'd like to follow along with today's reading, or you can follow along on the screen as I read this morning from the Good News Translation. The psalmist writes, "From the depths of my despair I call to you, Lord. Hear my cry, O Lord. Listen to my call for help. If you kept a record of our sins, who could escape from being condemned? But you forgive us, so that we should stand in awe of you. I wait eagerly for the Lord's help. In his word I trust. I wait for the Lord more eagerly than the watchman waits for the dawn, than the watchman waits for the dawn. Israel, trust in the Lord, because his love is constant, and he is always willing to save. He will save his people Israel from all of their sins." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Holy and gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be holy and acceptable to you. For you, O God, are our rock, and you are our Redeemer. And we give you thanks for who you are as we say together, Amen. I've already made a little bit of mention to this, and I know that I'm not unique in this, but I just have to tell you that I am not the best at, nor do I all that much like, waiting. And my disdain for waiting was no more apparent than the weeks and months after I achieved the rank of certified ministry candidate in the world of the United Methodist Church. The process to become a certified ministry candidate took a lot of time, and if I'm being honest, it took a lot of waiting, and so by the time I was a certified candidate, I was two-thirds of the way through my seminary journey, and I was therefore appointable. It was before my last year of seminary, I had other friends receiving appointments, and so it wasn't happening for me, and I was waiting, and I finally got the nerve to make a phone call to the then district superintendent of what used to be called the Glacial Lakes District, which is now the Southeast District, our district, and I called Roy Caudill. And I introduced myself. I said, "Hi, I'm Clay, and I'm a certified candidate, and I would love to talk more about an appointment." And Roy said, "Okay, cool. Stay tuned." And what was supposed to happen in my head was that he would call back a week later and say, "Clay, I'm so glad that you called. Here's where we're going to appoint you to serve during your last year of seminary, and it's going to be great. You'll start on July 1st. Does that sound good?" As it happens a lot in life, what happened in my head is not what actually happened. Roy Caudill said, "Stay tuned." And then I didn't hear anything. So I waited a few weeks, and I called Roy Caudill, and I said, "Hi, I'm Clay, and I'm a certified candidate in the Methodist Church, and I would really like to be considered for an appointment." And he said, "Clay, I know. We just talked a few weeks ago. Stay tuned." "Stay tuned" became kind of a rallying cry between Roy and myself. I called a few more times. I was told to stay tuned a few more times. And then one day, Roy Caudill called me. He said, "Hey, the pastor down in Beersford is wanting to take 3 or 4 weeks off after Easter. Would you want to go down to Beersford and be pulpit supply?" And I said, "Okay, great, let's do that." And so I did that, and it was wonderful. And then after that, I got to hear more of the same, "Stay tuned." Annual conference that year came and went. The fixing of appointments came and went, and I was still staying tuned. I was still waiting. And then one day, Roy Caudill called me and said, "Here's the story. You are going to be appointed to Brookings First United Methodist Church as their student associate pastor. Does that sound okay?" And I said, "Okay." And then we were off to the races from there. The rest, as they say, is history. Waiting was not my favorite. Waiting still is not my favorite. But what I have found is that there is a payoff to our waiting when what we've been waiting for finally happens, and we find that it is worth it. It has been worth the wait. And I just have to tell you, looking back now, waiting to be appointed and waiting to be commissioned and waiting to be ordained and waiting to be reappointed, all of it has been worth it because it's led me to here. And that's just a good place to be. In our scripture for this morning, it comes from this set of 15 psalms that had a specific purpose in the life of the Hebrew people. See, all of the psalms were designed to be songs used for worship, used for the people of God, but these 15 psalms were set apart. Psalm 130 is a part of this special set apart set of psalms that were used for a specific time of waiting. And that was the people's annual pilgrimage to Jerusalem. These psalms would have been used as a way of passing the time and as a way of reminding people in the first place of why they were on the journey that they were on as they made their way from their homes to Jerusalem to offer sacrifices in the temple on the Day of Atonement. In Leviticus chapter 16, it is God who decrees that the nation would gather each year to offer sacrifices to atone for their sins and to purify themselves for the years to come. And so as it stood in the days when the Psalms were being written, the people of God would make their way from their homes to Jerusalem, where they were on their way to their spiritual home. And on the way, they would express their eager anticipation. They would express their expectation. They would express the fact that they could not wait to experience the presence of God. And these psalms are called the Psalms of Ascent. And these Psalms of Ascent are aptly named due to the topographical location of Jerusalem. In Scripture, we learn that Jerusalem is called a city on the hill, and that's because that's a real thing. No matter which direction people were traveling from, the end of their journey had only one way, and that one way was up. That'd kind of make a nice band name, don't you think? Thank you for getting that. No matter where they had to travel from, they had to go up. They had to journey, they had to ascend, because Jerusalem sits 2,575 feet above sea level. And so you can imagine from that type of a climb that most of the last part of their journey wasn't very fun. But as you hear this Psalm of Ascent, as you hear our words of Scripture, the waiting that they're experiencing is not the exasperated kind of waiting that comes when you just can't wait for something to be over. They're not mad about having to wait right now, right? It's not as though they're hearing a bad rendition of the national anthem, or they've just pulled off of the interstate and have to drive the 9 miles from the interstate into Canton, which can seem like the longest 9 miles in all of existence when you've been on the interstate for too long. No, they are waiting because they are waiting for something that was worth it. The people of God are waiting for their familiar and beloved religious rituals. They were waiting for that feeling of being forgiven, that waiting of having a fresh start, that ability to embrace newness and to be made right with God once again. They are waiting for something that is worth it. There's a reason why in our psalm this morning, the psalmist says that he is waiting for this opportunity that is ahead of him, like a sentry, like a watchman, waiting for the morning. Because the people of God, as they're making their way to Jerusalem, they are waiting for this feeling of being refreshed. And a watchman, a sentinel, a sentry is waiting with excitement to be able to let their guard down and rest. And Israel, the people of God, making their final ascent into Jerusalem, are waiting to experience the presence of God. And so they waited with this hopeful expectation. Of course, things are different now on this side of Easter. Things are different for us as Christians. We experience this differently. It is not that we have to go to a specific place to experience this newness, experience this refreshment, although there are definitely places that connect us to God in a special way. Stay tuned for Camp Sunday. And we as Christians don't have to wait for a certain day of atonement to experience this refreshness of our spirits and this newness of life. Although the resurrection of Jesus Christ that we celebrate in a few weeks is going to be one of those high and holy moments, one of those special moments. And so in a lot of ways, the season of Lent is our own journey of ascension into God's presence. The season of Lent is our own journey of ascending into God's presence. Because in this Lenten season, we experience the breadth of human emotion. It starts when we are at our lowest spot on Ash Wednesday, in the depth of despair, as the psalmist says it. Because on Ash Wednesday, we are forced to face our own mortality. As we receive an ashen cross on our forehead and are reminded that we are nothing but dust returning to dust. And as Lent unfolds, it can feel like a journey of 2,575 feet straight uphill because we just want to get through it. Because we want to experience the joy of rejoicing in the resurrection. Or maybe it is just that we've given up something for Lent that we truly miss, like Diet Coke and steak. Not my journey during the season of Lent, but that might be somebody's journey this season of Lent, and I would stand guard for that type of a combination. But here we are, my friends. We are still a few weeks away from the end of our journey. We still have the voice of Roy Caudill in the back of our minds telling us to stay tuned. And as we wait, we are faced with a choice. And the choice is this: how will we wait? How is it that we will wait? Will we tap our foot and wonder if this could take any longer? Will we tap into that base feeling of disdain for waiting? Will we check our proverbial watches every 10 seconds and sigh loudly and give any indication to anybody watching that we are waiting and not happy about it? We could do that for 2 weeks. We could. We could wait in that way. We could wait for the resurrection of Jesus Christ with the same mindset of having to wait in a long line at Sunshine Foods before we check out with our groceries. We can treat the season of Lent as if it is just some big obstruction to us being able to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's possible. Or will we wait as the Hebrew people waited? Will we wait with the hopeful watchfulness of the psalmist? Lent invites us to wait confidently and contentedly because we know that what we're waiting for is worth it. Waiting as the Israelites waited to enter Jerusalem, waiting to experience renewal in the presence of God, is a waiting that is confident and active and disciplined. And is a type of waiting that actually makes it possible for us to grow closer to God in the meantime. So friends, we have nearly arrived at our destination. We are nearly at the end of our journey. And let this psalm be an encouragement to you. Let this time be an encouragement to you to keep waiting. To stay faithful, to keep watching for God. Stay tuned. Something that is worth it is coming very soon. Would you pray with me? God, we don't like waiting. We just don't. But yet you have presented us with this opportunity at the end of the season of Lent where we're making plans and checking things off of our calendar and volunteering to be a part of things and prayerfully considering those volunteer opportunities. And yet we wait. We wait for you to show up in this brand new way. We wait for you to revive our spirits, to bring an end to our Lenten discipline, to bring an end to our Lenten journey, and to swallow up any fear or anxiety that we have in the hope of the resurrection. But yet we wait. Give us the courage we need to wait faithfully, to wait hopefully, to wait expectantly. Give us the strength of spirit that we need to stay tuned and tune our hearts to finding you in the midst of all that we are up to as we wait. We love you, and it's in your name that we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon from the Canton United Methodist Church. Join us in person or online at 10 o'clock every Sunday morning for worship. And now go in peace and serve the Lord.
I want to encourage you after the message to head over to our YouTube channel and click the subscribe button. Over on YouTube, you will find videos of our entire worship service, a video cast of our weekly Cut for Time conversation with Pastor Clay and Eric, songs from our praise band One Way Up, and a bunch of other great things as well. Just search for Canton United Methodist Church. It would mean a lot to have you subscribe.